morning. We'll give the non-commercials one more minute and then we'll go ahead and start.
While we're waiting, are there any documents that I should be looking for? I have been traveling, so I may have missed some, but I hadn't seen any announcements for the list.
The documents that were sent out, Steve sent out sort of some older documents that had previously been sent to the list for the discussion on the national law topic.
Right.
And Maria this morning sent out revised a new version of the draft report, final report that's supposed to have incorporated the changes we discussed last week.
That came out this morning?
Yes, that's correct.
Kathy Kleiman joining. Good morning.
Hello, Kathy. I think we have a full house at this point, at least in terms of constituencies, so I'm going to kick this off. The agenda that we had originally sent out was to revisit the discussion on the draft final report, or the final report that we're getting ready to send to the council on the notice recommendation, and to take a look at the issues that Maria and I had identified from our last call in the public comments and see if there was anything we wanted to do with those issues. And then secondly, the other item on the agenda, which I'm actually going to move to be the first item on the agenda, is discussion of the conflict with national law topic, and specifically whether we want to move ahead with that as advice or whether we want to move ahead with that as policy. I gathered from our previous discussion that it's actually becoming a little bit hard to finalize the recommendations because people are unsure as to which of those two approaches we're going to use. So I'd like to at least nail that particular issue down today. Does anyone else have other topics they'd like to add to the agenda?
Jordan, I just sent an email to Marilyn, and I'll provide a couple of word edits on the minutes. I'm using the wrong word, I think, in a couple of places. They're not substantive changes, so I don't need to add that to the agenda.
Okay, great. Yeah, we will. Why don't we can take a look at that on the list? I think probably.
Yeah. Right.
Anything else? Okay, great. So I'm going to move us right into the topic on the national law. The real issue that I'd like to resolve today is whether we're going to proceed with this as simply advice to the staff or to the board or someone. That will probably be part of the decision. Presumably staff might make the most sense as to how to deal with situations in which these conflicts arise, given that there seems to be some ability to deal with these situations, as in the case of .name. The alternative is to go ahead and make this a formal recommendation of the task force as a policy recommendation, which could, if approved by the council and the board, become binding consensus policy. And I know that there's been some discussion on both sides of this. Steve had forwarded to the list the last draft of the recommendations that we've been working through, along with a thread that incorporates some thoughts on this topic. I think he did that yesterday, and that may be a good starting point. But why don't I actually start off by just asking for comments or viewpoints on whether we should move ahead with this as advice or as a policy, and it may be that we're already sort of in an agreement one way or the other, in which case it will be fairly straightforward. So does anyone have, does anyone care to express a view as to whether we should move this ahead as advice versus policy?
Jordan, this is Steve. I think we may have a little bit of a chicken and egg problem here, because so we know what's in the document, it may be hard to say whether we want it to be policy or recommendation. Wouldn't that...
Yeah, well, I think that's true, but I think at the same time, Steve, what we started to see in the, it is a chicken and egg problem, because as we started to see in some of the comments on the recommendations themselves, you know, you had people saying things like, well, this would make sense if it was advice, but not if it was policy. So, I think we have a relatively, I mean, we have a couple different versions of the recommendations, but I think they're, you know, at least in the same vein. So I think it would be useful to try to at least get a sense of where the overall thought of the task force is, which may help us get to a conclusion in terms of the actual substance of the recommendation, or recommendations or advice.
Hey, Jordan, can you tell me who of the registrars are on? Paul?
Paul, Tom, Bruce, in his capacity as GNSO chair, as opposed to a registrar rep, and yourself.
Jordan, this is Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
I guess I have a question in a similar vein as Steve's. In particular, there's a paragraph that we've been kind of debating over, the one that starts as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
The general counsel shall not recommend any enforcement action. And I'd be interested to know where we're working on that, because I think that does play into the question that you're asking.
Well, I think I think for the purpose of the present question, we would consider that issue, but it I'm hoping to see if we can get a sense of, I mean, maybe that what we'll get out of this conversation is that there's no sense of whether it should be advice or policy. And we'll sort of be back to the drawing board. But I think it would be useful to get a sense of the task force as to which, whether it's advice or policy, and then that will help us maybe frame the discussion over that paragraph and other items that we've been discussing.
I would like to get in the queue for that.
Okay, so let me start the queue. Tom, anyone else?
Marilyn.
Ken
Stubbs.
Pardon?
Ken Stubbs.
Oh, Ken Stubbs. All right, welcome to the call, Ken.
Thanks, Jordan.
Anyone else?
Kathy.
Kathy? Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. Well, I don't really think it's such a problem of deciding whether it's policy or advice. I think it could be both, actually, because I think we all agree that there should be a transparent and open process ICANN staff should use in the case that one of these problems is arising, and that we could advise that the process they design could look somehow like the process we set up during the last couple of calls. So I just think it should be, there should be something else, not just only advice, which we say, well, you can do it, but you can do it any different way as well. So we should tell them, well, you should have a process, and you may have a look at this, and this is what the GNSO is advising you to do.
Thanks, Tom. And that actually raises another option I think has been presented in the past, which is to formally recommend a policy that is that there should be a process, and then to have advice be specific mechanics about one possible implementation of it for the staff.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. Marilyn?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of close to what Tom was saying and what you were saying. I think I'd asked the question once before, so we could provide perhaps consensus policy that there should be a process, and then provide advice on what we think the process should include, that allow flexibility, that provide for the necessary flexibility on what the process would actually include, given the uniqueness of circumstances that might come out in different countries. I think we would want to, you know, build in the natural flexibility needed.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marilyn. Ken?
Yeah, Jordan, I just wanted to support Steve's comment. I think
okay, thanks, Ken. Kathy?
Recommendation 2 has had a lot of work involved in it and a lot of time, a lot of thought, and so I non-commercial would really like to see it as a policy because advice really doesn't seem to offer as much consistency and clarity. I think we want consistency and clarity in how everyone's going to be treated. And so we support making it a policy.
Can I ask a question, a clarifying question?
Yeah, I think someone else was trying to get in the queue maybe or have a question.
Yeah, Paul Stuhler, I would like to get in the queue.
Okay, so Marilyn, why don't you go ahead and ask your question and I'll add Paul to the queue.
Thanks. Kathy, I just wanted to be clear that I understood what I was proposing was that there be, that the fact that there be a process be the policy, but that the process itself be left as advice. Would the non-commercial constituency entertain that idea, or were you suggesting that the entire process needed to be consensus policy?
I'm not quite sure what is becoming advice and what that means. If somebody would like to define these terms, and Marilyn, maybe you can. I kind of understand the policy route. I don't really understand the advice route. Advice sounds to me you can take it or leave it, or it's much more discretion. Whereas here, consistent with what we know about the data protection laws in so many countries in which our registrars, the ICANN accredited registrars, you know, are incorporated, this exception procedure is. We really tailored something that's as narrow as possible, and it seems to me it's good as policy. But if you can explain to me what advice means in this context, I'd appreciate it.
So,
Jordan,
at the end of the queue, if I could.
Yeah, this is Tim. I'd like to get in the queue to make an observation on.
Okay, so let me. Sorry, Marilyn, I didn't quite hear what you said.
Oh, I just said just put me back at the end of the queue.
Yeah, okay.
Can Marilyn answer the question since she raised it? Would that be appropriate?
No, I think, Kathy, I should answer the question after everyone else.
Yeah, I'm
going to
put Marilyn right after Tim. So, Paul?
I think that it's, in this case, unless it's something like Tom said, a policy is too constraining, and I can't. Based on the call we had with them maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, just unless there's some kind of spelled out kind of advice, a huge advice component to it, I think it's just too constricting on what, you know, there's so many different laws. I just think if it was a policy, it'd be too, I'd opt for advice.
Thanks, Paul. Tim?
I just wanted to make the observation, and I know everybody's probably aware of it, but just as a reminder that in the current RA with registrars, section 3.7.2 states clearly that registrars shall abide by applicable laws and governmental regulations. And then just the other observation I'd like to make is that only as a registrar, you know, GoDaddy has never had any problems with getting with ICANN giving us an ear when we have an issue or problem that we need to discuss or debate about how to deal with in compliance with our RAA.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Hi.
Yeah, Marilyn?
Sorry, I had trouble getting on the line.
Oh, sorry, is that Suzanne?
That's David, I think, isn't
it? Oh, David, is that?
Yes, it's David. Sorry,
I have really bad acoustics on my headphones today. Sorry. Hi, David.
I'll respond. Here's what I sort of thought I was hearing from various people on the call that spoke. And if I'm misunderstanding it, and I'd like to clarify it, I think what I'm hearing is generally support for the idea that if there are problems that are encountered by the registrars, not hypothetical problems, but real problems that they encounter, that so far they haven't had a problem with getting ICANN's ear, but that the many members of the task force support the idea that there should be an acknowledged, I'm going to call it in this case, process, which is a neutral term. It isn't saying it's either advice or it's policy. And that then our discussion comes down to, is it advice? And if it's advice, how binding is that? And if it's policy, how do we avoid being so restrictive that we tie ICANN's hands or provide not enough flexibility to deal with the individual challenge or problem that a registrar encounters? I had suggested that there might be a compromise of saying that there should be a process, that we could make a policy statement that there should be a process, and then attach the work we've done as an example of the process and provide the advice to ICANN if we think we've done enough work on this. And I think we need to be very responsible that we have done enough work on this, that it passes our own understanding of what advice would be. That's the compromise between saying the whole thing is policy, but it supports the idea that there should be awareness, sensitivity to ICANN staff being able to address individual country-specific issues as they develop. I personally would prefer the idea of advice. I feel comfortable with the idea of suggesting there be a process as policy, but leaving the details as advice. But that's my individual preference as part of the BC.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. And let me try to frame this perhaps a little bit more concretely for Kathy and anyone else who has expressed, you know, the desire to have this be there be some sort of policy here. I think the way that Marilyn's suggestion would work is we would have essentially like a relatively short policy, consensus policy, perhaps something along the lines of ICANN will develop and document a procedure for resolving conflicts between local or national privacy laws and registry or registrar's obligations to publish who is data, or something like that. Just like a couple of sentences to say that ICANN needs to develop a procedure, and then as a supplement to that, a transmittal that we would send to the staff and after the task force had agreed to it, that basically included the procedure as we've laid it out, and have that be forwarded along with it for the staff to consider as a possible, and I think it is, we have worked hard to make a good procedure, and I suspect it would be something we'd take a close look at before finalizing whatever procedure they actually put in place. But it may be that would give them the flexibility they need to adapt over time or react to new unanticipated sort of quirks that we haven't been able to identify and put in the policy. So Kathy, would something like that meet the requirements of the non-commercial constituencies in terms of having a policy, but perhaps leaving the details somewhat to ICANN staff in terms of developing and changing from time to time?
I understand the need for flexibility among the ICANN staff, and I appreciate the explanation of the nuances here, because they're important. This is a recommendation that has received a great amount of work by Task Force 2. I mean, Jordan, nobody knows better than you, how many months were spent on this year. So it has been very well developed. Jordan, would it be possible to leave the question in the balance until we do figure out the exact text, since we are, I think what we adopt, the wording makes a difference in terms of policy or advice. I mean, again, given the work that's gone into it, we're leaning towards policy, but I'd be interested to know how we're phrasing. If we're going to give it as advice, I'd be very interested to know what the advice is.
If I could jump in as well, this is Wendy.
Can you put me in the queue, or Tony Harris?
Okay.
Steve
Metallic
to get in the queue.
Wendy, Tony, Steve, anyone else? And actually, I'll let those three people go before I have a comment of my own. Wendy, go ahead.
Sure. I think that hearing all of the discussions that we've had over the long period of time, I do tend to agree with Kathy that we can leave flexibility in a policy recommendation, but that the appropriate way to recognize all of the effort that's been spent developing this would be as a policy decision and not just as a recommendation that's left to the murkinesses of ICANN internals. And that's really as a way of saying this is an important issue and all of us on these calls have spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I think that we are on the route to drafting something that makes sense as an implementable policy but still leaves flexibility to address different situations as they come up.
Thanks, Wendy. Tony?
Yes, I just have a short question, which is, if tiered access becomes a reality, would national law and privacy considerations still be an issue and require policy?
My guess is the answer to that is we don't know.
Yeah, but I would say we don't know. And this, I hope, would be done in the short term.
I think it depends on the domicile of the registrar.
Yeah. So does that answer your question, sort of, Tony, or not answer?
Well, I guess so, because really you'd be doing work on something which would then probably be rendered irrelevant, but that's fair enough. If I may, I'd just add another caveat to this consideration, and somebody said, depending on the domicile just now, and that brings me to another possible solution, which would be to automate some sort of procedure when you complete a template for a registration, whereby if you indicate a certain country, that tells the database that that country has a privacy law and the data of that subject should not be included or it should not be exhibited because it's on the negative list of countries. Something which is automated, it wouldn't be a cost factor for the registrars, which I know is important, and it seems you could probably solve it that way.
It's supposed to hurt, too.
Yep, Paul, I'll add you to the queue. Steve, Mattel?
Yeah, I was just going to say, getting back to your suggestion, Jordan, obviously a lot depends on the words, but I think in general that's a good approach. I think we actually go a little bit farther. You said that something like, you know, this is a possible procedure. I think you could say this is a recommended procedure, but for the staff to take into account. But I think the important thing is if we establish as policy that there needs to be a procedure, and then we have a recommendation of what that procedure would be, I think that hits about the right balance. Obviously, a lot depends on exactly how that's phrased and on exactly the content of what we end up with. But I think that, as a framework, I'm comfortable with that.
Thanks, Steve. And I was this is where I had spotted myself a moment, which is to add that I think, just reflecting on what Kathy and Wendy said, I think it may be possible to essentially bifurcate the current recommendation into two parts, one of which will probably be the shorter part, which would be actual set of policy recommendations, and we could pick which portions of the current document or the current recommendations or create new things that we think are important to be codified as policy. Versus there may be a lot of details in here in terms of, you know, who does what at what point along the process that may be more in the realm of advice or a procedure that, that ICANN may wish to revisit from time to time. But for example, just not to leave things to sort of the murkiness of ICANN, we could require that ICANN, once it creates the procedure, to document it and publish it, and or to publish the results of, requests made under the policy. Certain elements of it we may wish to incorporate into the policy to make sure that there's adequate notice and information to the community at various points along the way. Paul?
I just wanted to say real quick that I think I sent an email to kind of around this idea to the list a while back, that if a registrar, if they could do something to bring themselves into compliance with the national law and, the RIA, that they have to do so. In other words, say, we came up with a tiered approach. And let's say that also, the RIA, the part of the RIA remained the same, the part that allows registrars to do services like ID Protect and the Bains by Proxy, then they must put all the names for this certain country or whatever on domains by proxy before either this policy or recommendation or whatever we want to have it is invoked.
I've got to ask Paul for clarification. I don't understand. Sorry, Paul. I just didn't follow the logic on that.
Okay. In other words, let's say I'm a registrar in a country and I have some data policy law that I can get out of if the registrant agrees to this information.
Mm-hmm.
That I must put all the names on ID Protect for me to be in compliance with both the national law and the ICANN RAA.
You're saying that one, let's say that a country said there can be no public display of certain registrant data. That's the example?
Yeah.
Okay, and the solution of the registrar and ICANN work out and consult with the data protection authority is names can be put under ID Protect.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the ID Protect registrant has agreed to allow its information to be displayed.
That
exists today, right? I mean, they don't need ICANN to pull that now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they must do that before. They don't get to choose not to do that and then go to ICANN and say, I need a special exemption or, invoke this policy.
Well, let me just clarify this. You're saying there are resources or solutions that exist today. I don't think we could dictate or mandate a particular solution, right?
What I'm saying is that if there is a solution that is, kind of obvious, that they don't get to implement that. They must implement that before they get some special exemption.
Maybe.
Can I get in the queue, Jordan?
Yeah, I have asked a question about this, Paul. I'd say I just want to clarify. The ID Protect service, is that a fair characterization of it?
Yes.
Is it offered by only one provider, or is it a family of services that any provider could offer?
Any registrar could offer a similar service.
Okay, and so that's what you're asking. If a similar service, you're not asking us to require to pick one solution. You're asking us to consider this kind of solution.
If there's a conflict, what I'm saying is the register and there's some just like ID Protect that solves the problem.
Yeah.
That all the registrars are doing without an exemption by invoking the policy, then they have to do that. They don't get to choose not to do something that solves their problem, invoke the policy to for some other special exemption that no other registrar gets to do.
I got you, Paul. I'm with you on that. I just wanted to be sure I understood what we were saying.
Okay.
So you're basically saying that the registry or registrar would have to exhaust their options under their current contractual framework before they were allowed to ask for an exemption.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes, that's exactly right.
Right.
Okay, great. Tom?
Yeah, just one follow-up on what Paul was just saying, is that this IT Protect service a registrar can use might not be a solution. So I just recently had a nice long conversation with one of our lawyers, and he told me that that might be a solution, but might be not, you know, that even if you cannot display anything, inserting a proxy might not be possible as well. So only thing I would be very careful of is to kind of trying to predict what we will be able to do in the future and to predetermine the process which we should use in a case we still don't know how it will look like. So I think it's a good idea to say that everything that is possible to still fulfill the RRA should be done before an exemption is given. I'm 100% for that, but already describing that process goes a little bit too far, out of my view.
Yeah, I think Paul is just trying to give an example. Is that right, Paul? The policy wouldn't refer to that specific option, I presume.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, Marilyn?
No, I think your wording was very neutral.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we could add something like that to this.
Kathy,
you want to be added to the queue?
Please.
All right. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
I'd be interested in hearing what other people think, but the wording that Steve offered, that this is a procedure that we're recommending, that we're offering a procedure as policy and that we're recommending or strongly recommending the rest of the steps to be taken by ICANN, I think that's leaning in the right direction. So take what Steve said. He said it more eloquently.
Yeah. No,
that we put the imprimatur of a recommendation on these steps, on this process that we've spent so much time with.
Right. The only sort of slight bit of clarity we need to add is that I think the output of the task force is generally recommendations which are intended to be policy, so we just need to differentiate between recommendations which are intended to be strongly considered by the staff versus recommendations that are intended to be policy, of which we may end up with both types. So let me suggest this as a way forward. I'd like to look at, go back to the last document and look at the, look to see if there's a way we can capture some of the relevant language in the form of policy recommendation, with the rest of the document being a recommendation in terms of how to implement that procedure. And I think we've captured here today a couple of additional thoughts in terms of the party requesting the exemption have exhausted their options under the existing agreement before requesting an exemption. Elements like that may or may not belong in the policy portion as opposed to the advice portion, whereas the procedural steps seem clearly related to the sort of recommendation in terms of how the staff might administer it. But I'd like to suggest that we take a stab at least at trying to split this up into these two sections and work the document in that manner, which I think will resolve some of the chicken and the egg issues that we've been discussing on this recently. So let me ask, is there anyone that would be willing to take a stab at splitting that into two sections, probably one much shorter than the other?
This is Steve. I could try to do that.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Kathy, I'll work with Steve on that.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, so we'll look for the output of the of the Kathy Steve work shortly. And I actually will send both of you guys a couple thoughts and notes from this call as well. Okay, any other final thoughts or comments on this topic before we move to our second topic today? Okay, we will we'll move on then. Our next topic today is to revisit discussion on our first recommendation, which relates to the notification of registrars. And basically what we agreed...
Jordan?
Yeah, Ken?
I've been trying to get in to make one final comment before you move forward.
Okay, yeah, go ahead quickly, Ken.
Yeah, it's kind of an observation, and I think it's something maybe Kathy and Steve have to look at as they move forward here. First of all, right now there's somewhere between 10 and 15 million domains that are currently residing in registries that have an obligation that are thick registries. I'm concerned about a couple of things. First of all, conflicts between domiciles as far as the registrar and the registry, where the registrar may be obligated to, in one way, not disclose data that the registry could be obligated to disclose because of the conflicts of domicile, number one. Number two, potential conflicts between tiered access rules. In other words, where do we go to get the access? Do they go to the registry, or do they go to the registrar? Could there be a conflict there? So I think these are issues that we have to look at. We have to have consistency in the methodology that we deal with this, because if I can set up a requirement that allows registrars to redact data publicly, and they're still obligated on the part of the registries, we can run into some real issues there. So let's at least consider that when we move forward. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. Okay. Moving on then to the notice topic. We last week I had made the decision that we were going to identify a set of issues that came up during the last call, some of which may be appropriate to forward to an implementation group, some of which we may attempt to answer and forward the answer to an implementation group, or some of which we may attempt to deal with by potentially modifying the recommendations if there was a strong view within the task force to do so. Maria sent that list out, unfortunately, I think yesterday, just a little bit late for some of the for serious consideration of whether we might change the recommendations in light of these issues. But I guess there's two issues here to deal with right away. First one is, is there a strong view of the task force that any modifications should be made to the recommendations in order to deal with any of these issues? Secondly, if not, or even if so, are there other of these issues that we'd like to attempt to provide some guidance to the implementation, to a potential implementation team, before forwarding it on to the council?
Jordan, can I get in the queue?
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I would like to get in the queue.
Oh, sorry, Paul. Anyone else?
Steve Metallic.
Steve. Okay, Marilyn, go ahead.
I would like to go in the queue as well.
Oh, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have extensive experience, and I just wanted to see if Ross on the call?
I don't think Ross is on the call.
I have extensive experience, probably, with the linkage between an implementation working group, and we have to keep remembering that's what it is. It's a working group. It's not a new task force. It's not a committee. It's a working group. And the work that a policy task force does. And I would like to propose that we at least send guidance and the benefit of the work we've already done forward. Remember that this has to go forward to council and then through council to a working group. And I think because it's likely that the WHO is task force will be continued to work on other things, even while the implementation working group is set up, that we should offer consultation as needed to the working group to support it. It's usual that the working groups include representation from the people who do have to implement it, and then some representation from the user community, such as the in this case, you know, it would be perhaps the representation from the at large. I think Thomas in the past and Grant Forsyth, for instance, worked on the transfers implementation group to provide continuity. But I would think we would want to send forward the benefit of the discussion that we had in our last call, which I found helpful and instructive.
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. I think at a very minimum we would send forward the list of issues that we've identified, and it may be that we'd want to also attach some guidance to those issues as well, if we can develop such. Paul?
Yeah, I just wanted to say the issues that I talked about in the last call were examples of why I personally believed that the registrar constituency came up with the their modification, with the registry constituency modification of the recommendation. So I'm not recommending it be changed other than to what the constituency came up with in their vote.
I'm sorry, you're recommending that we start over?
I'm just saying my constituency came up with had a vote, and they said we want to change it this way. I'm not saying anything other than that.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Steve?
Yeah, Jordan, I appreciate your putting that list together. It's been on the list for 5 days. It's gotten exactly one comment, which was mine, which said that most of those issues could be accommodated within the existing agreement or dealt with by an implementation group. So I think we should just get this off our plate, send it to the council with the recommendation that an implementation group be convened after the council approves this, and move on to our other business.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Tom?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Steve on that. I would like just to see it to be passed on to the council, and the council can have a look at it and tell us what to do with it, if there's any further work to do on it on the task force level, or whether they want to push it to some kind of other group to explore different possibilities. But let's get it done with that and pass it on to the council, and that's it.
Sorry, I didn't hear that, whatever it was.
So can we have a clarifying question from Steve and Tom?
I still can hardly hear you, Marilyn, I guess the signal's breaking up a little bit. I heard Steve and Tom. Marilyn? Okay.
Wait a minute. Now I can hear you. Sorry.
Yep. There we go.
So, yeah, sorry. So, with Steve and Tom recommending that this go forward to council, this did go forward to council for council to vote on as consensus policy. I want to be sure that's what Tom and Steve were suggesting.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
I mean, that would be the absent a change in,
right,
that would be the natural sort of order of things at this point.
Right. But I want to make a proposal then. I support sending it to council. I would like for the transmittal to council to include the list of issues that were identified as examples that should be discussed by an implementation working group.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Does anyone have any objection to including the list of issues that Maria sent out? I think you're right, Steve, last week, as to whether they, include this list of issues for consideration by a potential implementation team if the council forms one.
I have another one to add to the list, then.
Okay, hold on. We're getting a little jump. Let me do this. So let me have Paul, then Steve. Sorry, was that Tim that wanted to be added as well?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I would like to.
Tom. Okay, Paul, go ahead.
It's not a requirement of ICANN for a registrar to have a website besides to display WHOIS information. We're allowed to take registrations over the phone or by fax or method, but to add to the list for the implementation people to consider there, what happens if the registrar does not have a website?
Okay, thanks, Paul. Steve?
I think an implementation group can figure out what the issues are. I don't agree that all of the issues you listed, Jordan, are appropriate for the implementation committee. You said my comment. So I think then our recommendation is the recommendation that an implementation committee look at.
Sorry, Steve, are you suggesting that we should just send the recommendation and not include the issues from last week?
That would be my vote.
That would be your vote. Okay. Tim?
I guess my question would be if those issues are going to be included, how they would be positioned with the recommendation as far as, these are obviously just, not everybody agrees that these are issues or that these are the only issues. And so I'd just be concerned about how that was presented to the council with the recommendation.
So my guess, my feeling, Tim, is it would be just included as part of perhaps a transmittal letter that I'd send to the council, basically indicating that here is the final report for the council to consider. And in addition, during our discussions, the following issues were identified as potentially appropriate further topics for consideration by an implementation group if the council chooses to form one.
But not necessarily agreed to by everyone.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And you might want to say, this is not considered by the task force to be an exhaustive list, or
Correct. Yeah. This is not considered to be an exhaustive list, and not all members of the task force agree that that these issues are appropriate for consideration. But it's a rough. These were issues that came up during our discussions. I guess would be a way to express it. Does that answer your question, Tim?
Yes, it does.
Okay,
thanks,
great.
Jordan.
Tom?
Yes, I'm kind of curious. I'm not quite sure whether we are really in agreement about recommending to the council that they might form some kind of an implementation committee. I mean, that came up during the last call, and I'm pretty sure that from the guidance I'm getting from my constituency, that they just want to say very explicitly, we don't like that recommendation at all, so we don't want to even send it to some kind of an implementation group. So if the council itself comes up with that idea, that's fine, but I don't think we're in a position where we as a task force should propose that to the council. We could maybe give them a list of issues we identified, but without any further comment. That would be my preference on that.
Yeah, I think in order to form an implementation committee, Tom, the council would first have to approve the recommendations, at least by a majority vote. At least that's what came out of our discussion last week. You're right. It's not a given that these will necessarily be approved by the council, and it's not a given that, assuming a council does so, that they will form an implementation group. That's at the discretion of the council. But I guess the issue is whether we think it's useful to transmit these issues to the council in the event that they do create an implementation committee.
Well, I guess what I'm getting is that I don't even have the feeling that we have a consensus on, you know, forwarding this recommendation for such an implementation group in the task force. So we should not be mentioning it at all.
So Tom, you would just propose that we say here are some additional issues that we've identified relating
absolutely,
to this?
Yeah. At the most, actually, I think we should just follow the process, and we have the papers already, and we should send them to the council and let them do and decide with it whatever they like to decide on it.
So Tom, are you agreeing with Steve then that we shouldn't include anything, or are you agreeing that we should include the questions just without a reference to the implementation group?
I guess I'm agreeing with Steve then.
Okay.
Just send it as we've seen it.
Any other thoughts on this?
I have a question.
Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
After it to the council, and let's say they do an implementation group, as Marilyn puts it, would that eventually come back to the task for another round of voting with our constituencies, or will it immediately go to the council for consideration?
I think it would depend on whether the council viewed that the changes affected the substance, like actual affected the substance of the policy recommendations, or were only sort of implementation issues related to how to that were purely within the realm of the existing recommendations. And if it was, if it did modify the substance of the recommendations, then it would have to come back to the task force for further review.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy?
Does it go forward to another round of public comment at the council level?
No, the council, the next thing that would happen would be the council would vote whether or not to adopt the recommendations. I think. Is Bruce still on the call? No.
No, but I'm right. You're right, as far
yeah,
as I know.
As far as I know, that's correct. Okay, any other... So right now we have Marilyn in favor of including these issues, and Steve and Tom would be opposed to it. Does anyone else have a viewpoint as to whether these issues should be included in our transmittal to the council?
Sure, we have more better.
What, sorry, I didn't hear that, Paul.
I'm in favor of it. I think the more information, the better.
Okay.
And that's how Tim characterized it.
Yeah, I'm in favor also, Tony Harris.
Okay, actually, why don't we do, this will be sort of informal, but Glenn, can we poll the people on the call and see what the actual sort of sentiment of the task force is right now? Yeah, please.
And ask them, the question
is whether we should include these questions identified by Maria previously, as well as the issue raised by Paul Sahura as part of the transmittal to the council.
Okay, let me take them by names. Marilyn Claire.
I support sending the list forward in the transmittal document.
David Ferris.
Sorry, I had stepped out for one.
So, David, the question is whether we should include the issues identified in last week's call, plus one more raised by Paul today, in a list of issues to be forwarded to the council in a transmittal letter as identified by as topics identified by the task force for further discussion.
I would be fine with it so long as we have agreement on all the issues.
Okay.
David Maher?
I support it.
10 steps?
May have left, Ken.
Tony Harris?
Support it.
Greg Booth? Kathy Kleiman?
Abstain.
Paul Savura?
I support, but has a link that says that might not be in agreement with all these, and it might not be an exhaustive list.
Sorry, so what is that, support or?
Support with caveats.
But it just does not extend, it's not an exhaustive list.
Yeah.
Okay. Thomas Keller?
I'm against it.
Tim Roos?
I don't believe I have a vote.
Yeah, I think Tim's an alternate.
Okay. Steve Metellis?
I'm opposed, but since I see how the vote is going here, I think if it's, I wouldn't object if it's sent forward with the kind of caveats that Paul mentioned. First, that not everyone agrees these are valid implementation issues, and second, there may be other implementation issues.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Okay,
That's something I could live with a little.
Tom, are you changing your vote?
We'll leave them both as opposed, but
yeah,
with caveats.
It's just, I'm just saying, yeah,
with comments.
You're just saying, yeah, with comment, okay. Then, except for the one abstention, there seems to be support for it.
Okay, so I think by and large, it's
everybody, we have a vote from each constituency.
Right. So it sounds like there is generally support for forwarding these issues to the council, with the caveat that this is not everyone in the task force agrees that this is, that all of these issues are necessarily worthy of further consideration, and also that it may not be an exhaustive list of issues to be considered. So with that, I think has anyone had a chance to take a look at the revised report that Maria sent out today?
Would it be possible for Maria, is she on the call?
I have not heard Maria's voice on the call.
Okay.
Hi, I got on the call.
Oh,
about
there 10. She is.
Sorry, I had the wrong dial-in code. Sure, well, I can, let me just open up the document and I'll just give you a very quick summary. I just made changes to two of the headings and to, I added in a two paragraphs on the history within the task force in the last month. Let's see. Okay, I have put in an extra paragraph that says, after we had a sentence there that talked about the call for constituency statements in December.
Maria, what section are you in?
Sorry, I am on page 2 in the section 1 on introduction and background.
Thank you.
And there, it's just following what was originally there, which was a call for constituency statements in December, actually that's 2004, not 2005. Then I just said, ICANN staff compiled the recommendation, constituency statements, previous relevant public comments, and other materials into a draft preliminary task force report, which was revised by the combined two-way task force and finalized on 18th April 2005. The revised preliminary task force report was voted on by the task force constituencies in an email vote that concluded on 2nd April 2005. The results of the vote were incorporated into the final task force report and section 1.3, which details the vote. Then there's just one more paragraph which goes through what we've done in the last month or so. It says the final task force report on recommendations for improving notification and consent, the use of contact data, etc., was published on the ICANN website for public comments from 23rd April 2005 to 12th May 2005. Those public comments are now incorporated in this document. The revised final task force report will be submitted to the GNSO Council for discussion at its meeting on 2nd June 2005. So that's basically the extra added history I've put in into the introduction and background section.
Okay, and was that really the only change from the last version we've seen?
Yeah, that was the main change then. I just changed two of the headings just to bring any confusion between the different public comments that we described. So what I put in is in section 1.2, which just follows the text of the recommendation, it's now called Summary of Public Comments on the Final Task Force Report 2005, so that it's quite specific that the public comments that we recently had were on the task force report and also that they're this year. And then in the later section where it provides the public comment report about the public comments that we had in 2003 and 2004, what it does is it basically just puts the years into the title of that section so that it's clear that those are previous public comments. And the first sentence of that section still just describes, you know, what those comments are and why they've been included. But it's, the heading makes it clearer that it's public comment report from 2003 and 2004. Those were the changes that I made to it.
Thanks, Maria. The one thing I would say is that we probably have to change 1.2, the heading, to the summary of the public comments on the preliminary task force report, since final until after the public comments. So.
Sure, I'll do that straight away.
Any other comments on those changes? I certainly want to give people a chance to at least look on these on the list before we do forward this to the council. But if people do have substantive comments they want to make at this point, it may be better to do so.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. I have to have. I'm sorry, but I can't respond without more time.
Yeah, no, certainly, Marilyn. And my intent would be probably to give the task force until basically, at the minimum, until the end of this week in order to review the report and make any additional comments. And assuming there weren't, here's what I'd propose is that assuming there aren't major substantive changes suggested to Maria's latest document, that I would transmit this to the, or I'm not sure if Maria or I are supposed to send it to the council. We'll have to look at the PDP. But in any case, it would be sent to the council at the end of this week on Friday. If there are sort of more substantive edits proposed, then I think we would want to have another call and before finalizing it and sending it on next Tuesday. That any objections to that approach?
Jordan, this is Steve. Could you remind us, do we have an agenda for are we having a call next week, and if so, do we have an agenda item?
Yes. So let's talk about that briefly. We don't yet. I had promised sort of some next steps in a work plan for resolving the other sort of big issues, accuracy and access, and unfortunately, I didn't do that yet. So I would propose probably next week, I think, as well, is the next council call. Is that correct, Glenn?
That's right. It's on Thursday the 2nd, and the task force meeting will be on May the 31st.
May the
31st. It'll be about 2 days in between, 1 day in between.
Right. So I would suggest that given that we don't yet have a specific sort of work item for the for those other topics, that we probably defer next week's call and have one the week after. That'll be more useful in my mind as well, because we should have a new terms of reference at that point as well. What we should do is continue to use the list productively, hopefully to finalize or make some progress with regards to the national law topic. And get that off our plate, hopefully, or get it ready to get off our plate as well, so we can focus after we have the new terms of reference on the new work posed by the council. So, go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. That sounds fine to me.
Yeah. Okay. So that's I think that's what we'll go ahead and do. So we will schedule the next call for. Let me caveat this. unless there are substantive changes suggested over the next couple of days to Maria's report on on the notice topic. We will skip next week's call on the 31st. If we have a call next week, it would only be to discuss any final modifications to that report prior to transmitting it to the council. Otherwise, we will have a call on June 7th, and we expect at that point, but prior to that, hopefully I will have had a chance to look at the final terms of reference and suggest some ways we might move ahead on the remaining topics for us.
Jordan, it's Bruce Tompkin, if I can join the queue.
Oh, yeah, sure thing, Bruce. I think you're the only one in the queue, so go ahead.
Just a comment on the process in terms of transmitting the document to council. The council has a meeting next week on Thursday, on the 2nd of June, I believe. If you want the WHO is Task Force document to be considered in that particular meeting, it would need to be submitted to the council by Thursday of this week. So in other words, by, I think that would make it, what, the 26th?
Right. Okay, so let me adjust then my proposed resolution for that particular topic. So assuming that there's no substantive edits made or proposed for that report, I would propose that we transmit it to the council on Thursday then, the 26th, as opposed to Friday, so that the council has adequate time to review it prior to its call next week. And once again, if there are substantive edits suggested over the next few days prior to Thursday, then we will defer submitting that to the council until we've had another call to discuss.
And Jordan, on the recommendation too, I had to drop off the call, but what was decided there? Was there a view that you were going to proceed down the lines of a consensus policy, or was the view that you were going to treat it as a guideline?
The view was that we were going to treat it as both. That there would be a portion of the, there would be a recommendation that was probably somewhat lighter weight that says that ICANN should develop a procedure, and then the rest of the text would be essentially a recommendation for ICANN this is a recommended procedure that ICANN might put into place.
Okay, because what I'd suggest you do then is focus your efforts on the actual policy component, you know, the paragraph that you want to make is consensus policy, and then get that launched out for public comment and follow the PDP process for that portion.
Yeah, agreed. And Kathy and Steve have volunteered to try to do the sort of split into two of which belongs in the policy versus the recommendation. And hopefully we'll be able to work that on the list substantively over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because what you want to then do is work that into a report like you've done for recommendation one and issue that for public comment.
Yeah, correct. So we can get down the rest of the PDP track for that, yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll wrap this up and absent some strange thing happening, regroup on the 7th. Thanks, everyone.